van Upington tot Grootdrink, Groblershoop tot Keimoes, Riemvasmaak tot Rooiputs. Radiostasie van die Suidlanders, Radio Grootervier.
Dis weer eens tyd vir ons lekker geselsprogram, die Suidlanders gesels, en ons het nou al van tevore met van die departementshoofde en leiers van die Suidlanders gesels, waar ons 'n bietjie meer perspektief gekry het oor hierdie organisasie. Maar vir die afgelope paar maande gesels ek met Simon Roche, hy is die nasionale departementshoof van buitelands, oor die wêreldgebeure, wat die heeltyd in die wêreld gebeur. So van donderdag tot donderdag gebeur daar so baie dinge rondom die wêreld wat mense amper, as jy nie regtig waar op baie WhatsApp groepe is wat vir jou informatie deurgee en jy tyd om deur dit te werk nie, dan gaan mens baie van die dinge mis wat op die oomblik in die wêreld aan die gang gaan. En so Simon help ons daarmee uit wat ons elke donderdag aan met hom gesels en dan lig hy vir ons 'n paar baie interessante punte uit wat in die laaste week of so gebeur het. Van my kant af, kom ons gee gou vir Simon 'n likeie en kyk of ons hom in die hande kry. Simon, goeienaand.
Goeienaand Marius, hoe gaan dit daar?
Nee, dit gaan met my baie, baie goed en met jou Simon.
Alright, dankie Marius, ja, nee, alles is goed hierso.
Daar is hy. Simon, kom ons spring sommer reguit in, het ons het 'n lekker propvol program vanaand. So voordat ons by die missiele kom wat afgevuur word tussen Hezbollah en Israel en NATO en Rusland en daai tipe goederse, jy het vroeër vir my baie iets interessants gesê waarmee ek die program wil afskop, en dit is die Three Mile Island in die VSA wat weer geheropen word vir Microsoft se AI. Nou ek weet nie of daar baie van die luisteraars weet wat is die Three Mile Island in die VSA, wat het daar destyds gebeur nie, en hoekom het nou weer geheropen word nie?
Ja, you know, I had my three sons and one of their chummies with me over this past weekend, and they're very much under the influence of Johannesburg, the northern suburbs, their liberal mothers, and so we argue a bit about my politics and what have you. And we got onto the subject of, you know, saving the planet and how it's about to die. Excuse me, kom 'n boer verby. Naan tannie. Ja, ek voer net gou 'n onderhoud. Dis reg so tannie. Sorry about that, Marius.
Geen probleem, Simon.
But this is real life on the farm. And my internet has been cut off, so I'm doing this by data on a copy. So we got onto the subject of saving the planet and all of this, and I started explaining to them how Tesla is just a big con story and so on and so forth. And in similar vein, here we have Microsoft, Bill Gates flying all around the world telling us that we're bad because we don't recycle our rubbish. And his plane uses something like 100,000 cars, the average car consumption in the US a day on the average flight that he takes. And now we have Microsoft getting special dispensation to reopen the famous Three Mile Island nuclear power plant in the USA that was shut many years ago, and which is notorious for a nuclear accident about 60 years ago, just to power Microsoft's AI systems for that purpose alone. And it's too much for your mind, man. It's like the COVID story or like the vaccination story. It's just incredible that anybody falls for this nonsense. And here I've got three sons that I'm trying to persuade not to litter or anything like that, but don't believe that you are making any difference, zero, because when these guys blow their noses or they take a decision, everything that you could do in 30 lifetimes is wiped out. Oh, it's too much for your mind, man.
Ja, nee, dit is definitief laat the pot calling the kettle black. Dit is daarom net dis ja, dit mens moet net lag daaroor, maar die probleem is die elke Jan Rapp en sy maat, hulle doen nie navorsing daaroor nie, Simon. Ek het agtergekom die mense wanneer dit kom by hierdie klimaatsverandering, foefie en al hierdie goeters, dis asof hulle maar net die groot stroom media glo oor die aarde is besig om warm te raak ensovoorts ensovoorts en nie regtig waar dieper daaroor induik nie, en dit is maar eintlik 'n jammerte.
It's tragic. You know, there's that guy, Roman Kabanach, I think that's the correct pronunciation, from The Morning Shot, who was recently proposed by the DA for a role in the Bonte regering, of the Bonte regering. And everybody turned on him, and not one single person from the DA stood up for him. Not one person had the courage of their convictions in the face of political correctness. When the Africans, particularly the ANC, started jumping up and down and saying he's a rabid racist, which I'm positive he's not. I mean, he's definitely not even a Saitlander, let alone a rabid racist. Everybody just abandoned their posts. They melted in the face of this political correctness. They melted in the face of the voice of the man. The man spoke, and we all said sorry and bowed our heads and crossed our hands and offered no resistance, you know.
Ja. Okay, Simon, kom ons beweeg oor na Hezbollah toe. Jy het gesê Hezbollah gebruik ballistieke missiele teen Israel. Hoekom is dit merkwaardig?
Well, I'll just read off a list of things that has happened in the past few days, and we can go from there. I'll answer your question directly the moment I've read the list, but I think that it will help the audience to get a sense of perspective on this subject.
Okay.
If I mention that today the Chinese officially announced the first intercontinental ballistic missile test that they've ever conducted, allegedly. And one senior commentator said, well, I've never heard anybody claim that they have true intercontinental ballistic missiles. And this one that they've tested is able to strike the west coast of the United States of America, meaning that either they've managed to trick us for a long time, which is very difficult with satellites and things like that, or they've gone from 0 to 100 miles an hour in a very, very short span of time. Then we had the allegation that a ballistic missile was fired into central Israel yesterday. Then we had the event of about 5 days ago where NATO apparently used a tactical nuclear missile, so a mini nuke, to strike the Russian arsenal at Toretsk. Then we had about 2.5-3 months ago a revelation on the Judge Napolitano show by a guy whose name escapes me now. Two former CIA analysts were being interviewed by Judge Napolitano, and the one let slip that they knew, that is to say, you know, people from the CIA geleerdere or former CIA or people who hang around in such circles, that call it 18 months ago, the Russians gave North Korea a whole bunch of Topol-M nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles. You and I have discussed this previously. They're the ones that you see on the Red Square parade, on the backs of the big trucks. They can also be used on trains, and they are the ones that go into the underground silos. They are the second most powerful nuclear bomb, if you like, whether it's in a missile form or not, the second most powerful nuclear weapon known to mankind. And then we had Vladimir Putin. The announcement came out today, it may have been from yesterday, adjusting the Russian nuclear doctrine. And finally, we had a senior Russian diplomat, the Russian ambassador to the United Nations, talking in very strong terms about Russian retaliation. So now with all of that in mind, allegedly NATO has used a tactical nuclear missile. And I wasn't sure that was true. So I did some research, and there's a group of guys who are experts in this field, really know what they're talking about, who are debating a bunch of other guys. And the guys who know what they're talking about are speaking in level-headed, cool, calm, and collected terms. There's no drama. There's no flamboyant charisma. It's just dry scholarship in which they're explaining why they believe that that has to have been a small nuke, a mini nuke. And then you have Hezbollah firing a ballistic missile into Israel.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, just to be clear, a nuclear warhead, a small one, could be carried in your wife's handbag. The means of delivery can vary. Usually, when we think of nuclear missiles, we think of intercontinental ballistic missiles, but that was not the case. Even if it was a mini nuke, it wasn't an intercontinental ballistic missile that was used against the Toretsk arsenal. If you throw a stone, it goes in an arc and eventually drops to the floor. And that's what a ballistic missile is. You press the button and it goes up in one predetermined arc and hits a predetermined location at very, very, very high speed. A cruise missile is something else. You can adjust the flight pattern and it can avoid certain threats and hurdles and obstacles and so on. So we mustn't confuse things. When we talk about a ballistic missile landing in Israel, it's not to say that it was nuclear, and it's not to say that it was intercontinental, and it's not to say that it's 100% confirmed. The Israelis, for instance, haven't admitted to that occurring, and certainly the West hasn't either. But that's easily explained. It doesn't mean that it did happen, but it's easier to explain why, if it did happen, they wouldn't be telling us anyway. Israel wouldn't like the world to know that the Iron Dome and the Patriot and the David Sling all failed, and that it could be struck by ballistic missiles, nuclear or not, intercontinental or not. So this was a conventional, non-intercontinental, meaning it can't fly, for instance, 6,000 miles. It was just flying from somewhere in southern Lebanon. But the fact remains, you don't want that in the newspapers. And again, before we spoke about this very much, we went and did research. What do the experts say? Some of the experts are saying absolute nonsense. It never happened. And then you've got other guys bringing out satellite photographs and saying, compare the area of debris. Look at the trajectory or the angle of attack. It didn't come in shallow. It came in very steep, which is typical of ballistic missiles. Not only, some cruise missiles can do that, but it is more typical of ballistic missiles. So there's this argument going on, and nobody is absolutely dead certain. But it does seem, if you consider the list that I read off, and that's why I read it all, as if the world is entering a phase of very much heightened conflict. I could have added here, although it would have been going back a bit too far, perhaps, how the Houthis of Yemen chased the American Navy out of the Red Sea, or the entrances to the Red Sea, with the missiles and what have you that they flung at the USS Abraham Lincoln carrier group. You know, a aircraft carrier doesn't sail alone. It's accompanied by various submarines, various destroyers, and at least one oiler, and other vessels. So, all in all, we're seeing tremendous movements in this fever of brewing crisis that we Saitlanders particularly are sensitive to at the moment.
Yeah. Ja, en soos jy sê, Israel sal nie graag dit wil bekend maak, dat hulle Iron Dome en al hulle methodes om hierdie missiele en dinge uit Israel uit te hou, het nie gewerk nie, want hulle, soos die Engelsman nou sal sê, hulle bargain daarop, dat jy hierdie beeld moet hê van hulle is, hulle, jy kan hulle nie binnendring met sulke tipe dinge nie. Selfde met die Amerikaanse vloot, soos jy nou sê, die Houthis wat glad nie op dieselfde vlak is van die Amerikaanse vloot en sovoorts nie, wat die Amerikaanse vloot, soos jy sê, daar by die Rooi See bietjie bakslag gegee het. Hulle wil dit ook nie hoofstroom media nuus maak nie, want hulle wil daai invincibility, wil hulle vir die wêreld toon. En so, ja, en ons weet allemaal wie beheer die hoofstroom media, en dit is dalk nie, hoe kom dit altyd die nuus maak nie?
Ja, absolutely. I listened to a sermon by one of the world's leading rabbis this afternoon, and I'm going to listen to it at least once more, perhaps two or even three times more. And he spoke for an hour and a half about why things are happening now. Excuse me. I've got a little hiccup. I'm just going to put myself on mute. I beg your pardon. Why everything is happening the way that it's happening now. And, you know, it goes back to that story that I told you about the Tzu Chin Chan Atlas comet that will appear in the southern hemisphere tomorrow night. Yeah. And how they believe, rightly or wrongly, it almost doesn't matter, how they believe that is the herald for them to perpetrate all of the dramatic things that they have to do for their Messiah to come according to a certain timeline. So you can rest assured, just for those listeners who haven't heard the story before, for a very, very, very long time, at least 1,500 years, the rabbis have been seeking out, according to a prophecy, I forget the verse now, it's the Star of Jacob. According to a certain prophecy, certain rabbis calculated that a comet would appear on a Friday, that is the 27th day of the lunar month, which is tomorrow. And so every time a Friday coincides with the 27th of a lunar month, which is every 8 years or so, not seven, because of their leap year, they've been scanning the night skies, you know, maybe the year 823 was the year for the coming of their Messiah, you know, 834, whatever the case may be. And for the first time in history, they have this phenomenon, an unknown star, the star obviously not being letterlik, can be a comet or an asteroid or a supernova or a newly spotted star. And they're saying, they believe that, and I should mention that it will appear for 70 days, and then it will deteriorate and basically crumble to nothing and disappear, and that those sparks will ignite World War III, and that will lead to the coming of the Messiah. Now, not to get into too much of that esoteric stuff, my point simply being, if you are the most influential people in the world, if you are the people who inspired the Ukraine war, if you are the people who control all of the money and all of the finance, if you are the Israeli citizens who own BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, who've just bought up, I thought it was 32%, but I hear now 41% of the farmland of Ukraine over the past 2.5 years. And you believe that it is further in your best interests to inspire the next war in the 70-day period. So the idea is the comet appears tomorrow night for the first time. It can be seen initially only in the southern hemisphere, so we should be able to see it. Tomorrow I'm going to load that star app thing and see if I can look for it tomorrow night. I know nothing about astronomy. They say that in that 70-day period, as this comet deteriorates, decomposes almost, and then finally shatters on the last day, it will inspire, you know, all of these terrible events. Now, I'm choosing my words ever so carefully, Marius. Only time will tell, but it does seem peculiar that all of a sudden we're discovering that North Korea has a whole bunch of intercontinental ballistic missiles that the Chinese have intercontinental ballistic missiles, that a ballistic missile was fired into Israel yesterday, that NATO allegedly used a tactical nuclear missile on the Toretsk arsenal. And if anybody's interested in that, they can look it up on Twitter. OSINT Defender is covering it. Simplicius the Thinker is covering it. War Monitor, I think, is covering it. And Russia is changing its nuclear doctrine. I'm sure you saw that thing.
Yeah.
It does seem very, very, very peculiar that all of a sudden, all of these things are coming to a head, just as the people who claim to be in charge of ensuring that they destroy the world, they call it Tikkun Olam, are saying, right, it's countdown time, boys, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Sure, Marius, I don't know.
Ja, nee, dit is so. Ek het gesien op daar's baie ander baie meer mainstream media wat ook nou praat van hierdie hemelliggaam asteroid wat ook al mense wil noem. Hulle sê hy gaan wel hulle het eintlik gesê hy was al van eergister af gaan mense hom kan sien. En dan gaan hy een keer of iets om die aarde wentel en dan gaan hy op sy pad weer gaan. Maar dit is dan vir my baie snaaks hoe 'n ding van ver af kom, hy wentel om die aarde en dan gaan hy weer. Dit klink vir my baie meer realisties dat dit dalk gaan opbreek hier naby ons in ons atmosfeer en so aan. Maar interessant of dit nou eergisteraand is of van vanaand of van môre aand af is, dit sal lekker wees half om, soos jy nou sê, daai sterre applikasie te kan aflaai en dit vir die mensself te kan dophou. Maar as mens terugvat na die Bybel toe, Simon, en ons Hemelse Vader het gesê, hy gaan die maan en die sterre maak vir ons, vir tekens en vir tye. En dit is precies soos die rabbies dit het. Hulle, ek sê nie, hulle is reg nie, en ek glo ook in hulle methodes van hulle ding nie, maar hulle glo dit. En solank hulle dit glo, hulle is die geldmag, hulle is die ouens wat die hoofstroom hier beheer, hulle is die ouens wat die World Health Organization hanteer, en al die goederse, hulle sit met al die mag om enige iets te laat gebeur wat hulle wil laat gebeur, want dit is wat hulle glo.
Yes, absolutely. To be clear, you're right about that asteroid thing. There is a difference of opinion between the most senior rabbis, the most learned rabbis, the most highly thought of rabbis. Some of them believe that the Star of Jacob is a supernova that will take place in the next, I forget, it's not something I've researched very heavily, or I haven't researched at all, I've only heard it mentioned in passing. There's a supernova that's going to happen in a few days' time. Others claim that it's the asteroid that is going to be like a second moon for a short period of time, the one that you're mentioning.
Yeah.
I'm only alluding to the kind of the majority opinion, which is the comet. So time will tell. It may turn out that the comet was not the Star of Jacob, and it may turn out that the asteroid to which you alluded, this Earth has a second moon for a few days, that it turns out to be that, or the supernova.
Yeah.
So I just want to make that point in the spirit of honesty for the listeners' benefits.
Yeah. Nee, dit is baie interessante dae waarin ons lewe. Dit is dae wat ek dink nooit nog van tevore in die wêreld gesien gaan wees nie. Maar ja, Simon, is daar dalk nog 'n punt wat jy vinnig wil opbring voordat ons groet? Iets interessants wat jy met die luisteraars kan deel?
Yeah, let me try and do this, Marius. I'm a bit of a doffel when it comes to the phone, but I'm going to try to open, while I'm talking to you, open another application. As I say, I'm not the best at this. Okay, so just for the record, we can end with this. This is the update on the Russian nuclear doctrine that was adopted by the Permanent Council of that in Russia yesterday. Under the chairmanship of Vladimir Putin, there have been a few videos released on that. Number one, under certain conditions, a massive launch of enemy air power, including airplanes, missiles, and UAVs, resulting in a violation of our border, may be justification for the use of nuclear weapons. Now, I put it to you, Marius, that is in response to something that we discussed a few weeks ago, where I told you that Dr. Gilbert Doctorov, an American...
Hello, Simon?
Marius?
Ah, daar is hy terug.
Okay. I beg your pardon. So that I think is in response to Dr. Gilbert Doctorov. Did you get the first part?
Ja, ons het.
Okay. He came back from Russia and said in an interview that he was absolutely shocked to discover when meeting some of his peers, you know, great political analysts and what have you, that they believed that the reason why NATO had flown two drones into the Voronezh M long-distance radar systems is because those two particular of the 13 radars in total that cover the advance of intercontinental ballistic missiles towards Russia, be it from Western Europe or the USA or wherever, that the two of the 13 that the NATO guys had blinded were the two looking towards the US fleets in the Eastern Mediterranean and in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
So I think they're now saying, look, we know what you guys are going to do. You're going to send a huge barrage against us from our southwest. So that was the one change to their doctrine. The other one, I hope I don't lose you, was aggression against Russia by a non-nuclear state, but with the support or participation of a nuclear-armed country, will be considered a joint attack. And then I haven't lost you yet, so I'll mention the third one quickly and then go back to the WhatsApp call. Equivalent nuclear protection will be established for Belarus. So what they're saying is, if any of these grootbacker, like Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Norway, do anything, and Russia perceives anything against Russia in terms of war and warfare, and Russia perceives them to have been aided and abetted by MI6 or the CIA or the French,
yeah,
they will consider that a joint attack and respond as if it was the nuclear power that had attacked them. We are now at war with another nuclear power. So this changes everything, absolutely everything, Marius, because what it says is, if the Ukrainians launch an attack on our soil again, we have now garnered so much evidence of the participation for 2.5 long years of MI6, of the French, of the Poles, of the Americans in the Ukraine war directly, not just mercenaries, the military themselves, the militaries themselves. We've got a license now. We can do whatever we like. So they've effectively changed their doctrine to give themselves a license that is retrospective. It looks back. It can take evidence almost from the past to dictate a future action. It's very, 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 very big news. I would say it's bigger than the ballistic missile into Israel. I would say it's as big as the news of the Chinese ICBM test, or for that matter, the allegation of the NATO tactical nuclear missile used on Torres. It's big stuff. That's about it for me for today, Marius.
Well, so basis met hierdie doctrine het Rusland en Putin nou eenvoudig 'n lyn in die sand getrek en gesê genoeg is genoeg. Ons vat nou al die red tape en alles weg vir enige vorentoe aggressie teen ons, gaan nou nie meer riglyne teen ons kan gebruik word nie, ons het nuwe riglyne ingeskryf, so dat ons kan julle aanvat en uithaal as ons sou wou, en dit is 'n groot eskalasie as mens vat van hulle, hoe hulle nog half die vrede probeer hou het, maar ek dink hulle is keelvol, ek dink hulle het genoeg gehad.
Ja, I think they've had enough. The dishonesty displayed by the West, has added up to the point where they don't feel the need to occupy the moral high ground anymore. You know, not to be coarse or crude, but I think they've been poked in the eye in this fight so many times that they're now at the point that they're saying, listen, the next thing that we're going to do is kick you between the legs, and we're not going to apologize for it, and we're not going to feel guilty.
Yeah, sure. Ja, interessant, interessant, interessant. So Simon, dis die einde van ons program nou hierso. Ons gaan 'n 2 weke breek vat van vanaand af. So twee donderdae nou hierna gaan ons nie weer gesels nie, maar dan daarna hervat ons dit weer. So ons gaan maar vir die luisteraars sê, hou die WhatsApp groepe dop waarop ons al die boodskappe uitstuur van wanneer ons gaan weer hervat. Maar soos ek sê, twee donderdae nou, volgende week en donderdag, en die donderdag gaan na gaan ek en jy nie gesels nie. En dan daarna is ek en jy weer aan die gang en dan gaan ons hopelik op 'n Dinsdag aand gaan ons begin met die prepper gesels ook waarna ek baie uitsien.
Yeah, I must tell you, I'm so excited about that. Time will tell. You know, we will look at the listenership figures and we'll get messages from our friends and other Saitlanders. And then we will discover which of these two series is more successful and more valuable. But I personally am very, very excited for the prepper series.
Ja, definitief. Simon, weer eens, baie dankie vir jou insig en jou lekker gesels met my, en dan gesels ons oor so 3 weke se donderdag van nou af.
100%, thank you very much, Marius.
Groot plesier, lekker slaap, tot ziens.
Dieselfde, bye-bye.
Dat hy, natuurlijk was dit Simon Roche, die nationale departementshoof van buitenlands, waarmee ek so pas gesels het, en gaan gerus na die Radio Goed Rivier webtuiste toe, gaan onder pot gooie, gaan kyk onder die Suidlanders gesels, tabelle, en dan daar gaan luister jy na die vorige, as jy van het gemis het. Dit is ontsettende belangrike en interessante geselsies, nie net met Simon Roche nie, maar met ook baie van die ander departementshoofde en leiers van Suidlanders. Van my kant af, groet ek julle eers weer, en morgen is ons weer op die lig, morgenoggend van 7 uur af tot so net voor 10. Natuurlijk is het Salome en Pais ook morgen aan die woord, en met hulle lekker geselsprogramme en ook lekker musiekkeuses. Lekker slaap, veilig bly, en mag ons Hemelse Vader ons seën. Tot ziens!